Thank you, Brother Zach. I'll echo Brother Zach's words. The relationship we've had, the Gideons and Waynesboro Bible Church, has been through the years a strong one, and we certainly appreciate the support that this church has given to our ministry over the years. Those of you who were here pre-COVID might remember I did come, shared with you back in those 2018, I believe, somewhere around there. Those of you, I apologize, you're not going to hear the same message, but Gideon messages have a tendency to sometimes be a little bit similar. So I'm trying to do a little bit different today for you, but I thank you for the opportunity to come and share. I'm going to just read a couple of verses out of Matthew chapter 7. You don't have to turn there. I'm not preaching from that, but we're starting there. Matthew 7 and verses 7 and 8. It says, "Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." I want to share with you, as you know, Gideon's speakers love to share testimonies of people who come to Christ through the power of God's word, as it's been placed in many of the areas of access that the Gideons have. And I want to share the testimony of Reverend Joplin Emberson. We were blessed last fall in October to have Pastor Emberson come from the state of Kansas, came to Pennsylvania, and shared at, for I think he was here 9 days, shared at different pastor appreciation events that we hold in October for local pastors in South Central Pennsylvania. And he shared his testimony. And I just want to share that. It so struck me. I would like to just share that with you. It's not like hearing him. And he had, he didn't have an hour, but Pastor Zach said it's okay. That won't happen. But anyway, Joplin Emberson was a sophomore in high school. And he had just gotten his driver's license, was able to drive to school. And one day as he was leaving school in his car, and he had to pull out of the parking lot and come to a stop sign just off the school, or right at the edge of the school grounds. And there was a gentleman standing there with gray hair, much like mine, probably had more than I do, but holding out this testament to him. And through the open door, he tried to look the other way, ignore. He did not want to take the testament. However, the stop sign was a little longer, and finally, he just felt like it's easier just to reach out and take it. So he reached through the window, took it, threw it on the seat, and that was that. He now had a copy of God's Word, the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, and they are still orange. We still hand them out to schools on the public sidewalks where we can. So Joplin's life was not a church-affiliated life. They had no Bible in the home. In fact, it became one of drugs and alcohol and a downward spiral for him. As a senior, he was, these are his own words, he was taking drugs before school, during school, and after school. So bad that one morning in his senior year, he passed out in the classroom. And he woke up in the nurse's office at the school, and his first thought was, "How did I get here? What happened to my life that I am here?" Maybe just a hint of God beginning to reach out to him and to affect his thoughts. But it didn't have a lasting impact of any kind, as he went right back to the same life that he had been living. When he graduated, got a job, and he began to deal drugs, things only continued to get worse. One early morning, after a terrible night, as he put it, a terrible night, not able to sleep and thoughts that were not pleasing to him, as he awoke, he began to think about his life. And the thought came to him, what if hell is real? That's where I'm headed. What if it's real? I know. I'll take that testament that I still have, which after 4 years, he had no idea why he still had it. He had never opened it. And he said, I'll start to read that. And so he did. Not knowing anything about the Bible, he took the testament and opened to Matthew chapter 1. Not very interesting reading, but he managed to get through 7 chapters to the 2 verses that I just read for you, Matthew 7, 7, and 8. He said, that's very strange. He says, there's no requirements on asking. You can ask whatever you want. God, I'm giving you 30 days to prove yourself to me. And that was his statement to God. That was his ask. God, you have, I don't recommend that, folks, by the way, but 30 days, God, you have to show me. Now, the second part says what? Seek. Okay? Joplin said, I need to start seeking. What better place to seek than go to church? Now, you have to realize we're talking about someone who's dealing drugs, who's never had any Christian experience, if you will, at all. So he went to church. He said he never felt so cold. There was nothing that day as he went to church. So he went back the second week, and the same feeling. And it dawned on him. This was a local church that he was going to. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew what he did, what his life was. Maybe he needed to get out of town to a church where people didn't know him. So the next Sunday, he went out of town to church. And he sat through the service. He said he had on a college sweatshirt, a pair of baggy pants, a nose ring, a tongue ring. He was the typical anti-Christian person, if you will. When the service was over, an elderly lady, Nadine, I don't remember the last name, Nadine someone, he even remembered her age. She was 72, folks, just so you know. Turned to him and said, son, is this the first time you've ever been here to church? And he said, yes, ma'am. And she said, would you come back? That's all. Would you come back? But that had a lasting impact on him. As he left, he thought it was a little strange, but that she invited him back because of the way he looked. But now his goal was, I'm going back because she invited me. So the next week, he went back. Week number 4. Let's see. He gave God how many days? 30. We're at 28. Okay? Well, he said the message that day, his words were mesmerized. His words were challenged. He wanted what the man who was preaching had. So, when the end of the service and the invitation was given, he came forward to the altar, got on his knees, and accepted Christ as his Savior. Out of nowhere, God reaches down and takes someone who has no background and draws them to himself through that word. You know, we give out so many Bibles, and most of them, we don't know those things that happened. He was one nice enough to come back and share the positive things that happened in his life. As I mentioned, he's now a reverend. So he went back and started, he and his wife started a church. It's a very thriving church, a big mission outreach into Africa. And God has blessed Joplin's life tremendously. And he took, by the way, his own funds to come to Pennsylvania last year and stay here for those 9 days and share that testimony, which was nice. It's all the power of God's word. God's word itself tells us how powerful it is. Just three verses, which we probably are familiar with, but Hebrews 4:12 simply says, the word of God's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. You know, we hear often in the scriptures and we think God looks on the heart. God doesn't look on the outside like we do. We can't see a person's heart, but God can. And Hebrews tells us that. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the what? Power of God unto salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. The world would have you believe there's many ways to get to God. The Bible says, Jesus said, there's one way, through him. Okay, and the Gideons believed that. And our goal in putting out his word is simply to see men and women, boys and girls, make that decision to accept Christ as their personal Savior. That's the goal. That's why we do what we do as Gideons. A little history. 1908, the Gideons started placing Bibles in hotels. World War II came along. We began to give to service personnel going into the war. I don't have this happen too much anymore, but I remember back in the early days of my speaking, which would have been the early 2000s, there were still a lot of World War II people still alive, and someone would come up after a service and show me the testament they got when they went into the service in World War II. That was a change as the Gideons began to reach out to other venues to share God's word other than just the hotels and motels. In the late 40s and early 50s after the war, we began to distribute to schools, and the schools were open to us then. Schools today, you find very few that allow the Gideons to take Bibles in and share with the students. Private schools, okay, but not public schools, I should mention that. But would you believe there actually was a Gideon motto back in the 1950s? Every teacher's desk in America will have a Gideon Bible placed on it. That has long since been gone, thanks to our, you know, we're not going there. Okay, so in the 1960s, starting about the mid-60s and on, the Gideons expanded into other countries. And we've been doing that up until the COVID era, expanding into other venues in other countries. Actually, We have 199 countries and territories now. And by the way, I was a math teacher, so I love numbers, so I'm sorry for those of you who don't like numbers. But in 2001, we handed out our number 1 billion scripture. Now, God has blessed us. We are over 2.5 billion. We're actually almost to 2.6 now. I really like to cut it down to personal thought with that. Every time your heart beats, two copies of scriptures are placed by the Gideon someplace in the world. God has just so tremendously blessed him, and we're so thankful to him for what he's done for that. So what's the local camp doing? We're in camps, by the way. And that all goes back to the name of Gideon. And if you read the book of Judges about Gideon, you'll find that there was a camp. Yes, that's where our camp comes from. this is the Franklin Southeast Camp. Actually, we're Franklin North and South now, but we still go by Southeast here. Tomorrow morning, some of us will be at the Penn State Mount Alto campus handing out testaments to the students there. Tomorrow and Tuesday, actually, both mornings we'll be up there. Students are always very receptive there. It's one of the distributions that we really appreciate and have opportunity to go. May rolls around. I think it might be the second week of May. We'll be over, not over, but down here at the middle school and high school, but we have to stay on the public sidewalk. We can't cross to the school. We have to be on the public, but if you ever pass by that way, when school's dismissed, you'll see us out there someday during the week handing out testaments. Again, students, for the most part, are receptive to accepting copies of God's word, and we appreciate that. In fact, we had one young man took it home, didn't just took it because it was offered to him, because his friend took one. He just threw it on the table and left it there. His father came home from work and said, "What's this on the table?" And he said, "Oh, some old gray-haired guy gave it to me as I left school. So I just brought it home. I didn't want it, but there it is." But interestingly, the father picked it up and began to read it. And eventually the Spirit spoke to his heart, and he realized he needed a Savior, that he was a sinner and needed Christ, and he gave his life to Jesus. And of course, he shared with his family, both the young man and his sister and his mother also became Christians. And the young boy says, "Now, every Sunday, we go to church together." He says, "That's great." He says, "I really like that." So there are some fruits that we once in a while hear about from the distributions that we do. Other places that we might go here. Waynesboro Hospital is very receptive, and we've been giving out to both the nurses, making scriptures available for the patients there as well. So that's been a very positive area for us to distribute. Our wives do, the doctors and dentists' offices and other medical offices around the southern part of the county. Nursing homes, police, firemen, assisted living, pregnancy centers, domestic violence shelters, fairs. And we even started the last couple of summers now. We've done VBS. In fact, I think someone came, it wasn't me, but somebody came and handed out to some of the children here at VBS for you folks last summer. So the opportunities are there. As I said, God has blessed the ministry tremendously. One of the important things that we believe and follow is the fact that prayer is why God blesses us. And so we're strong believers in prayer. I noticed in your bulletin, you have a Saturday morning men's prayer breakfast coming up. Well, the Gideons meet every Saturday morning. We meet at the Velvet Cafe on 3rd Street. So And at 7:30, we spend the time in prayer for the ministry. And one of the things that we do is we pray for every church, every pastor, and their family in our camp area. We have 135 churches. Now, we only work with evangelical Protestant churches, so we don't work with others. But we have 135. And we've divided those churches up, and we have a daily prayer calendar that we use to pray. So there's one day of every month that you folks here at Waynesboro Bible get prayed for by the Gideons. I'm sure you don't probably realize that, but just so that's there. And along with that, Pastor and his family are prayed for as well. And if we get a specific request, we might pray for that more days, depending on the request and you know what the situation is for that. But basically, it's one day a month. So it comes out to four or five churches every day that we pray for. And now that's the entire camp, okay? We have, actually, we have 51 members in the camp. That's members now. Active members, that's not 51, but anyway. If everyone's praying, you'd have 51 people praying for you on whatever day it is for Waynesboro Bible Church. God does some strange and amazing things with the testimonies that we receive. And this is from a gentleman in Ohio. His name was Roy Pate. He wanted to become a professional musician. And he knew a girl, or he met a girl, and she had gotten tickets to go backstage after a rock concert. And she invited Roy to go with her. He thought, this is a great opportunity. I might meet somebody, be a chance for my career, and I could be. So Roy went. Well, after he went, they went backstage. They were invited up to a room in the hotel where the place was held, or wherever this was. They were invited up to this room where there was a party. And so he was there, and he talked to people. And after about 45 minutes, the leader stood up and said, "All right, I want everyone's attention. We're going to start worship service. Satan worship service." And now Roy was not a Christian, didn't have a lot of knowledge of God, but that scared him. And he decided, the guy said, "If you don't want to be part of this, you leave now," to everybody that was there. Roy got up and left. He was the only one who left the thing. Well, where is he going to go? Down to the lobby. So he goes down to the lobby, and he's just sitting there, and he needs something to read. Well, wouldn't you know, God had placed the Gideon Bible in that lobby. Normally, we don't put them in the lobbies of hotels. We just put them in the individual rooms. But that reason, there was one there. So he opened it up, and he went to the help section in the front in the Bible. But he could not find anything that said, "Avoid Satan worship." I know, my Gideon Bible doesn't have "avoid Satan worship" in there either. We're supposed to be able to figure that out for ourselves. But so he just took it and started reading. He read enough, he was tired, and he fell asleep. And he didn't wake up until morning. He was kind of secluded back in a section where he wasn't noticed. It wasn't like being out in front of a lobby. And he woke up and he was a little bit confused, but what he had read, he wanted to talk to somebody about. And he looked, there was a room to the side, and the door was closed, but there were some people in there, and they had their heads bowed. So He opened up the door to find out what they were doing. Well, he opened up the door and opened it into a Gideon Saturday morning prayer breakfast meeting. So one of the gentlemen pulled out his testament and said, "Have you ever been saved?" And Roy said, "No, what's that?" And the man said, "Well, let me show you." And he began to open up and show him verses from the scripture of God's love, of the fact that we're sinners, of the fact that God has a remedy for our sin through his son Jesus. And he gave him basically what we would call a plan of salvation. And so Roy said, "Yeah, I need that." And he prayed to accept Christ as Savior. So today, Roy is a Gideon in Ohio, distributing, placing out God's word. Only God can do things like that, folks. It's all in his timing and his power as he changes lives. Thank him for it. I mentioned about the overseas countries where we are active, and just to give you an idea, normally we have 10 Gideons and they travel to the country and they help the local Gideons in that country mass distribute scriptures, if you will. So the one I remember, the one I went to in Kenya, in Africa, we were there for we were there for 7 days, but five that we went to schools and distributed scriptures. We went to 500 plus schools and left over 150,000 testaments and Bibles to the students in those schools while we were there. Some of them are larger distributions, some are smaller, it varies. But the fact that we send out these mission teams to help the local camps there in other countries. So the first week of, just to give you this month is very heavy, by the way. Costa Rica was the country. There was a team there handing out scriptures all week in Costa Rica. Last week, Poland and Slovakia. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but Poland is very key because there were so many refugees from Ukraine who came because of the war into Poland. Poland has kind of been a little bit overrun with refugees. And so the opportunities there to reach people, not just in Poland, but also Ukraine. And this week, the countries of Colombia, Panama, and Malaysia. And the Gideons are there handing out scriptures, placing God's word to all those who will receive them. So we just pray for them to accept Christ and realize what they're receiving. One of the things that I like to be able to share with congregations when I go, this Bible, my wife and I joined the Gideons in 1998, 26 years ago. And this Bible cost the Gideons $5 to place, to print and place. Someone gave a donation. And that's one of the things about an offering for the Gideons. Everything goes to Bibles. It's all to the printing and placing of scriptures. So it was $5. Today, this Bible costs $5. The price in 26 years has not changed. I praise the Lord for that. And so, if you give a donation of $5, there will be a Bible placed someplace in those 199 countries by the Gideons. And I didn't mention either, 109 different languages. So it's not like we're taking English into all of these countries. We're printing in 109 different languages around the world. And we just praise God for what he has done. I want to leave you. I want to again thank you for the opportunity. I want to leave you with a testimony that God has laid on my heart. It's so relevant to our country today that I like to share it if I have opportunity. It's a young woman named Deirdre. Deirdre was staying in a motel just outside the city. She had actually come from her hometown to stay there for the night because she had a very important engagement in the morning. She didn't want to be late for it, so she drove in and stayed in this motel. As she was at the motel, she was looking for something to do in the evening. She was staying in the room, and so she started shuffling around, and she opened the drawer next to the bedside and found the Bible that had been placed there by the Gideons. So her letter to the Gideons, she wrote to them afterward saying this: "I just want you to know that I was saved by reading one of your Bibles that was placed in a motel that I stayed in, and then I stole it." Now, we make fun of that. We don't want people stealing things, obviously, but these Bibles are placed there for someone to take if they need one. She needed one, she said. So she took it. She wanted to pay for it. Well, the Gideons wrote back to her very nicely and said, "It's okay. God has a purpose. You needed that Bible. We put it there for that purpose. It changed your life. End of story." She writes back, "You don't understand. I stole it. I want to pay for it. So the next Gideon I see, I'm going to give $5 for that Bible." Well, there was a little more to Deirdre's story than just the Bible. See, Deirdre was there because she was an expectant unwed mother, and she was visiting an abortion clinic the next morning. God changed that. He intervened in her life and the life of her child, and she didn't go to that appointment. And she went home and took the Bible with her. And her final write back to the Gideon simply said, "When my daughter is old enough to understand, I'm going to give this Bible to her, and I will tell her how God saved both our lives that night in that motel." Like I said, God has touched me with that particular testimony. It's all God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul says what? "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." All power and thanks and praise goes to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for its truth, for its power. Just thank you for the opportunity to share this morning a little bit about the ministry of the Gideons, for some lives that have been changed as you have reached down and touched hearts. Thank you for this church, for their support of that ministry, for their proclaiming of the truth, the word of God. Father, we praise and thank you for your love, a love so great that you would send your son to give his life a sacrifice for our sins. Father, now just bless the rest of this day. Thank you again for your love, and praise you for all that you're doing, Father, in the lives of people through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.